other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on radio. It's Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday and it's February 21st. I'm back here with Charlotte this morning.
Hi, how are you guys? I wanted to save you with the date then, but I was like, I don't know it. I don't know.
I know, it's like, who cares, right?
I go from day to day knowing what day it is, not the date.
Yeah. I know, and even that I barely remember. Right. Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're looking bright and beautiful.
And oh, thank you.
You got your hair all fixed up and everything. It looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does that reflect how well you feel also? The way you look in the morning?
Yeah, a little bit, but I have a lot to do today, so I'm like, okay, I need to put my face on early in the morning, and then there's no going home today for a while. So
right. Do you ever leave your home without putting a face on and things like that? Really?
Yeah.
Like when you go to the gym or something?
Yeah, and honestly, I prefer not wearing makeup.
Really?
But especially for being on camera, the more the better.
That's true, yeah.
So I have to kick it on for that. But I prefer no makeup, my hair tied up in a bun, especially from swimming in college. That was all I... The hair was literally on top of my head all the time. I wore no makeup. I constantly wore sweatpants.
So it just stayed with you.
Yeah. And now I have to be dressed up all the time. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, awesome. You know, I mean, well, you've got a face that you don't have to put much makeup on, you know. And as opposed to some women I've met in my life, that even with makeup, it's like, you know, putting lipstick on a pig, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So, yeah, I call him as I see him. I'm an honest person, you know. So, yeah, you can expect compliments here every day to start off your day.
That's a good way to start the day off.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So, do you have any big plans for the weekend or anything? Or you work, right? You work on the weekend.
Yeah, I work on the weekends. I'm working tonight and Sunday. But tomorrow, I actually took off because I'm going to a friend's leaving party. She's going to New York to Cornell. So she's leaving next week.
Oh, nice. So you're having like a party or something for
her? Yeah, it's at her family's house. And then tomorrow night we'll do something. That's during the day. And then tomorrow night will be something else.
Cool.
But yeah.
Now, when you work, do you work like long hours? I mean, from the morning till nighttime, till closing?
I do. On Sundays, I do a double. So I work from 11 to around 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
But for like tonight, I'm only working 5 to 10.
I see.
So it's not bad at all.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, because I mean, a whole day like is pretty long.
Yeah,
right?
Especially because Sundays usually aren't that busy.
Right.
So I like to work the double so I make more money. But last Sunday was so busy the whole day. It got to like 8 o'clock, and I just said to the manager, I am so tired.
Really?
I've never walked so much in the space of like 8 hours at a restaurant.
Wow.
Because it was so busy.
Yeah.
But that's good because it's more money.
Exactly. And it makes the time go by faster, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sitting there when there's no one coming in is the worst. I worked Super Bowl Sunday, and it's a pizzeria sports bar. It's fun. Like big groups of people come in and drink and...
Wow.
And stuff. But Super Bowl Sunday, I think we got probably 5 groups of customers.
Really?
For the whole day.
Are you serious?
It was so depressing.
Wow. Why do you think that happened?
I don't know. I guess because people have their own parties on Super Bowl, but it was terrible.
Really?
I was like, I'll work because it'll be really good money. Super Bowl Sunday. Never again will I work Super Bowl Sunday. Never again.
That's very surprising. I would have thought the same thing. You
know? Seriously.
Wow.
Now I know why everyone else took off and I was the one that was like, yeah, I'll work.
Wow. So, well, that's good. It keeps you busy and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good. So I'm going to have to visit the place. You don't have to tell us where it is, but you're saying it's kind of like a sports bar and stuff?
Yeah, you'll definitely have to come. Yeah, it's okay. It is great food.
Really?
Great food, yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Is it in the valley or in the city?
It's up by La Cañada. By Pasadena, so it's kind of far away.
Yeah, you do have to make a drive.
It's a drive.
Huh? Yeah.
But it's a great restaurant. It's family run. It's four families that own it, Italians, and the food is all homemade.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just a fun atmosphere. It's nice to go. It's not, it's laid back. Uh-huh. And I don't know, I wear jeans and a t-shirt, and I serve pizza and beer.
Oh, okay, sounds so, good to me.
Yeah, it's nice. It's not, I'm not that kind of, I don't think I would do well in a really serious waitressing.
Really?
Where you have to wear a shirt and a tie.
Right. You would like that.
I don't think so. I mean, I've never done it, so I don't know, but I definitely prefer the laid back atmosphere. You can have fun while you're at work.
That's true, yeah. I mean, it's more enjoyable to go to work, you know, when it's not so structured. Like
exactly,
you said. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Do you have any plans this weekend?
Do I have plans? Let me think about it for a second. Just probably working and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I pretty much work whenever I want, you know. So it's like I work late at night. Sometimes on the weekend, but it doesn't ruin my plans. You know, I can do things around it. But I'm known for not doing a lot on the weekend.
That's the best part about the weekends, though.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather have some more action and stuff. But, yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I just like the weekend. I don't really like sleeping in, although I do sometimes sleep in. And because it ruins the morning, you know. I love mornings very much. But when you stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning, it's hard to get up the next day, you know?
I can't sleep in anymore. No matter how hard I try, I just cannot sleep in.
So what time do you usually wake up?
7:30, 8 o'clock.
Really?
That's pretty good. Even if I go to bed late, I'll wake up and I'll be so tired, but once I'm awake, I can't fall back asleep.
Wow, that's interesting.
So annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to sleep.
And what time do you usually get to bed at night?
Around midnight, probably.
Okay, so you get plenty of sleep.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see why you can wake up not tired at 7:30, 8 o'clock.
I mean,
you get your 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish I did, man, but I can't, you know, every evening it's like, okay, 11:30 or 12, you're in bed. Before I know it, it's 2:30. <You know>? But that's okay, because during the day, you know, I'll take a nap and stuff, you know. It's not like I work rigorously around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that I choose whenever I work, so I mix it with pleasure and stuff.
Right.
And it works out well for me. So the weekend's the same way, you know. And I like going away on weekends, but I was in Vegas last weekend, you know, so I will take it easy on my wallet this week.
Yeah, nice, relaxing weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's great. What did I wanted to bring up? Oh, have you been watching the Olympics? I think today's the last day, right?
I haven't. I have to say, the figure skating, which has been on the past couple nights, I just find it kind of boring. I don't find it boring because I think it's so much skill.
Yeah.
But I prefer snowboarding, the skiing, all the jumps. I prefer and the bobsled skeleton, etc. So then when it's now it's the figure skating, I'm like,
I see.
I watch Friends every single night.
Really?
It's on Nick at Night at like. I think it's on 10 to 12. So whatever I'm doing, it's always on in the background. And I love Friends because you can just, you don't have to sit there and watch it really hardcore. I've seen every episode.
Really?
I know what's going to happen.
So you just listen to it.
Yeah, and I laugh. And so it like lifts my mood before I go to bed. So I like my Friends routine.
That's interesting. Did you grow up with Friends?
Not really, which I think is why I like it so much, because I've seen every episode, but it's still somewhat new to me.
Okay.
Because it's not shown that much in England.
Right, yeah. I never watched it, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, here and there, but I never even watched like a whole episode. I don't know why. Yeah.
Oh, that, it's
I'm
so
not
funny.
A big TV person, you know, I'm not, but I do like Two and a Half Men. I still watch the...
I like that one, too.
Even without Charlie Sheen, you know, he's totally forgotten by now. But it's still a funny show, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go places.
Yeah, King of Queens too, with Kevin. Can't remember his last name.
Yeah,
but that's one of my favorites as well.
Yeah, you like that one.
Yeah,
yeah. That's kind of an older one too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never watched that one either. But I mean, it's not like I haven't heard of them. It's just that, you know, I haven't really gotten into them. Yeah. For a while, I was watching those Two Broke Girls, but which is pretty funny too. I mean, they push the limits as well. But I don't know why I stopped watching it. So now I'm into Californication. You know, I'm like watching past episodes and stuff. And it's amazing. You know, I just love the character so much. You know, he's so carefree. Have you ever seen anything?
I haven't, no.
Okay. It's with David Duchovny from The X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays like a writer in L.A. Who does like, he's got every vice in the book, you know. Always bangs a couple girls during the episode. And these are like 30-minute episodes. And his life is a mess, you know. So it's like watching a train wreck. I like it. I like it.
Makes you feel good about your life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, God, he does anything and everything. Like drugs and smoking and everything. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in regarding a documentary, a very interesting one and a relevant one that I thought we should feature on the show. So we'll be waiting for them to call in. And there's a few things that I wanted to discuss. Well, first of all, you know, talking about smoking and drugs and stuff, I guess in Colorado, they're expecting $184 million in tax revenue in just the first 18 months. You know, that's like almost $200 million that they didn't have before, you know. And so they're saying at least much of that money is going to be funneled into teaching kids how to stay away from pot, you know. So, yeah.
Just that's like, bizarre. It just got legalized.
Yeah, I know. But it's kids that you want to talk out of it.
Yeah.
You know? So because I think what happens is if, you know, you make it legal, then things will, I mean, kids will think, oh, it's okay, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like they do with alcohol. So.
But also the fact that it's legalized, because I know like in England, for example, the drinking age is 18.
Right.
So when I came out to America, I'd already been drinking for a while. I mean, I came out when I was 17, but it's kind of, you know, people drink underage here, like, because it's 21. In college, it's such a big time to drink.
Right.
So when I came to college, it was kind of, I was like, whoa, everyone's going crazy. This is insane. I think if, when things are legalized, it makes it, you kind of do it more when you're younger, but then you grow out of it a lot quicker, and it becomes, people become a lot more sensible.
Okay.
With what they're doing, rather than, because, I mean, people in college just go crazy.
Yeah,
they it's like, do, oh
without
my gosh,
a care.
Yeah, I'm out of home, I can drink. Like, well, technically you can't drink, but people do, you know?
And boy, do they drink, man. Yeah. I don't know how people can drink so much. But you said you like, we were talking about wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like wine a little bit. Are you like a big drinker? I mean, do you drink to...
No, I don't have time,
stupor,
unfortunately. But I do like I don't really like red wine. It kind of sends me to sleep. But white wine with the right meal, and I love going to get a beer. If I
like that's, you like beer,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
see. That's your drink.
Yeah, if I'm eating, it's wine. But then if I'm just going to get a drink with a friend, I'll 100% get a beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm a beer
it's
girl.
Cool. I like women that drink beer because it seems kind of like a manly thing to do. But you know, it's like sexy. It's just like when a woman has like a boy's name, you know.
Yeah.
Or like many have like last names, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
Madison, you know, and all these names that they have, and it's like last names, you know, Houston, you know, so yeah. So you know, all kinds of names and stuff, but yeah, you know, so this marijuana deal, man, I don't know, they're saying that you kind of think that California is the next state to legalize it and stuff, but there's still a lot of forces that are fighting it here.
Yeah.
So it may not happen soon as we would like it to. But it's going to happen, you know. And I think it's irreversible now because even the federal government is like looking the other way. So I think it's the end of this demonizing of this herb that I find pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second, because I think our guest is calling in, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Tim Phillips from Animal Friends International and Lineup.
Yes, Tim. Yes, Tim Phillips, good morning to you. Welcome to the show. And where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, you are here. Okay.
Yeah, I'm working from our LA office here.
I see. Okay. So are you an Englishman?
I am indeed an Englishman, Englishman in L.A.
Okay, well, we have an English co-host here, so you guys will relate, I'm sure.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello there. You can do the simultaneous translation then.
Right, there you go. So that's Charlotte and I'm Sam. So, Tim, thank you for calling in. You guys have worked on a documentary called Lion Ark, and this is about lions. Tell us a little bit more about it. I guess in Bolivia, and so tell us a little bit. You obviously know more about it than I do.
Okay, well, Lion Ark's currently on the festival circuit at the moment, and it's the story of how animal circuses were banned in Bolivia and how the animals were rescued. And what happened was we worked on a big campaign. We did a big undercover investigation, and we put people inside the South American circus industry for almost 2 years. Uh-huh. And they exposed some really horrific abuse.
Really?
And wow. Bolivia was the first country to ban animal circuses, and they passed a law after about 2 years after we released the findings.
Oh, wow.
And nearly all of the circuses simply defied the law. No one expected it to be enforced. And this is a big conservation and animal welfare issue, actually. Can laws be enforced?
Right.
So we made a commitment that we would help them enforce it. And we went back to Bolivia. And it's a big, big remote country. It's about the size of California and Texas combined. Mm-hmm. Many people think it's this little speck down in South America, but it's a big country with just 8 million people. So very remote, not the kind of roads or infrastructure we're used to. And that's really where the story begins in Lion Ark, with us tracking down these circuses. And we tracked down 8 different circuses, and we raided them. We rescued every single animal, and in the end, we kind of, the film focuses on bringing these 25 lions that were rescued from different circuses back to health, and then airlifting them in this huge flight called the Lion Ark to the USA in a sanctuary, and those animals running free.
Oh,
and
wonderful!
It's an unusual thing in that it's got a lot of laughs in it. It's got a very, very happy ending. So it's unusual in that it covers a very serious issue and a very kind of topical issue, the use of animals in entertainment.
Right.
But it's actually very much a feel-good movie.
Right. Now, why is this abuse going on? I mean, it's obviously not necessary to abuse animals in order to make them perform at the circus. So what's behind that? I mean, what's the motivation for people to treat them like that?
Well, there's a load of factors that come together with the traveling circus. One, you've got these, you're traveling.
Right.
So you're keeping animals in very, very restricted space. That you've got to have cages that fit on the backs of trucks and remain secure and things like this. And so space for these animals is very, very limited. And that goes for Europe, the US, everywhere.
Right.
Basically, tigers are living on trucks. Elephants are living on tents, in tents, and they're chained up every night because they're such strong, dangerous animals. So point one, the living conditions mean they're going to suffer straight away. Then you also add in the fact that they generally do very unnatural tricks, and they're being constantly handled. They're moved from, you know, the circus cage, the ring, twice a day to do performances. They have to be very, very closely controlled.
Right.
And that means there's far, far greater chance of human interaction, dangerous incidents, and violence towards the animals.
Right.
And we filmed in circuses here in the US and in Europe and the throughout South America, obviously, as I've been saying. And no other industry has this level, given it's quite a small industry, of physical violence to animals caught on film. Right. When you think how many cameras go into zoos, and there's many things that are wrong with zoos and those establishments, but when you think how many tourists go in with their cameras and they're filming, and yet there's relatively few, considering the number of zoos, incidents caught on film where trainers or keepers are beating animals, yet there's this vast volume of such incidents in animal circuses. And again, it's the nature of the industry, constantly handling the animals, constantly having to make the animals do unnatural things on a particular timetable, and working in very, very restricted, potentially dangerous circumstances.
Right.
And that's why more and more countries are looking at the evidence and saying, we shouldn't have animals in circuses, and in particular, we shouldn't have wild animals.
Right, exactly, and you know, I mean, they're not designed for these kind of things. So I can imagine it really makes them miserable, and you would expect the people that are their handlers to be the most empathetic with them, but apparently they're the ones doing the abuse.
I'm afraid that's the case, and that's sort of been proved the case at some of the biggest training facilities, the wealthy ones, right down to these very poor circuses in Bolivia that we were taking animals from. And I think that, you know, many people who work in difficult jobs, whether it's factories or whether it's, you know, hard physical labor and working with animals in circuses, that's often the case. That does erode your pride in your work, and it does erode your empathy.
Right.
And eventually these animals just become objects stored in a cage, pushed out to perform, and if they do anything wrong, or if they snap at you, if they've got a headache, then they're going to get a beating for it.
Right. Wow.
It's really sad.
Yeah. How did you become involved with this, Tim? I mean, obviously, this is an important cause that you're doing here. But, you know, obviously, not everyone's going to think of these things and actually take action like you have. How did you become involved with that?
Well, it's interesting that Lion Ark is my first film that I've directed, feature film, feature-length documentary. But it was actually over 30 years ago, a film that I saw at a movie theater that turned me on to this. And it was 1980, and I went to a film called The Animals Film. And it was really groundbreaking in its day. It showed how animals were treated on factory farms, in laboratories, in circuses, in all of these things. And it's fair to say it changed my life. I was working in finance at the time. I quit my work. I bought myself a really good camera. And that's when I began documenting how animals are treated.
Mm.
And that's really at the root of Animal Defense International, which I formed with my wife, Jan Creamer, in 1990, is that we believe in evidence. I don't believe people are, or most individuals are, inherently wicked and support animal suffering.
Right.
Or human suffering. And I believe that people respond to evidence, and everything we do is about gathering evidence which is substantial enough to prove the case, and presenting that to the people.
Right.
And if you'd said to us, you know, 10 years ago, or to any animal protection group, there is such a reservoir of compassion in South America that if you give them the facts, you will have 5 national bans on animal circuses within 6 years.
Wow.
Everyone would have said, no, that's not going to happen.
No.
And that is what's happened in South America. And
right.
It was from the ground up. We released these findings to the public. We did press conferences, we got on the streets leafleting, we showed our films in bars and tavernas, and we got signatures on petitions, we got cities to ban animals in circuses when they saw this evidence, and slowly it climbed up to the national level. Bolivia was the first country with a ban, and next to follow were Ecuador, Peru, Paraguay and earlier this year, last year, Colombia band. So it's a huge shift in public consciousness. And around the world, there's over 25 of those bands now. I think we'll see one in the UK soon.
Right.
So we are seeing a change in how human beings think animals should be used. We may not be seeing an absolutely paradigm shift that we should not do things to animals, but we are seeing a line drawn where people say, we shouldn't do certain things just to amuse ourselves.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's a key thing.
Right. And that's the thing. It's not like they're being used for anything helpful or meaningful. It's just for entertainment, you know? So in the name of entertainment, these animals get mistreated, and I'm sure they don't even know what's going on, you know? They're just like, taken from the wild and put in these situations where they're helpless.
Yeah, and when you first started documenting this and going behind the scenes at the circuses, were people reluctant to let you back there and video all this stuff and capture this footage because it's obvious that this isn't okay?
It's very complicated. We run quite complex deep cover undercover operations, and often they'll involve setting up a front or a way of gaining access. The most common thing we've done, and what we did in South America and what we've done here in the US and Europe, is for one of our field officers gets a job working in that industry, and they work and they document everything that they see.
Right.
And in South America, you know, that was tough and risky. You know, you're working in very remote places, you've got people who are armed, and, you know, you've got the sort of all-pervading drugs industry hovering about, which is something you don't want to cross. And so our team, we embedded them in the circus, and we just kept them there, and they moved from country to country. And what we like to do is, you know, if we get something which is sort of newsworthy, we don't instantly release it. We kind of work through the industry until we have what we believe is a genuine picture. And if we see someone who we think is perhaps more compassionate than somebody else, we won't paint them as otherwise. And I think that's why we've been so successful with the evidence we then put out in the public, is that, no, we're not telling you they beat this animal once. This happened every day at this time, and it happened for this reason.
Yeah.
And so it's a painstaking process, and, you know, there are risks involved. You know, one of our field officers tracking down a circus in Peru where the government have asked us to enforce the law that we secured there was quite badly beaten last year, was put in hospital with a broken leg. So
wow. Yeah.
It's risky.
Was that was that because his cover was blown and they realized what he was doing, or?
Well, we're in a slightly different position. Often we're sort of going into places where people, you know, don't expect us to be. And obviously that's like any journalist who's investigating something, that's the objective.
Right.
So in Peru, we've got a slightly different circumstance in that we secured the law 2 years ago. And the circuses would have been 2 years to comply and to move to being either just having domestic animals or going completely animal-free.
Yeah.
And so they're very aware of the campaign, and they also have seen what happened in Bolivia. So we don't quite have the element of surprise we had in Bolivia, where we swept into 7 circuses in 7 days. And really caught them quite unawares, just taking the animals there and then. So in that instance, he was aware. But sometimes if people spot us filming or photographing, you know, we can get in trouble.
Yeah, obviously, because most people don't want to, you know, they don't want you to find out about this. That's what it's all about. It's undercover, and you take risks, absolutely. Tim, give us the website so people can find out more about the film.
Okay. If they go to lionarkthemovie.com,
okay. Lionark
they can find out about the film there. And for they can click through there to Animal Defenders International, and people can look up ad-international.org.
Okay, sounds good. So the website is lionarkthemovie.com. You guys can find out more information. There's a trailer on there as well. And Tim, we wish you much success with the film. You're saying it's going around the film circuits now. So kudos to you.
That's right. We hope to get it on TV and into sort of theatres extensively. We do have something quite exciting here in Los Angeles tonight. Uh-huh. The film has been nominated for Outstanding International Motion Picture in the NAACP Image Awards. That's going to be decided tonight, and that's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. So right. It's a huge civil rights organization has identified the film and nominated it for one of their awards.
Amazing. Okay, well, Tim, thank you so much. This is fascinating.
Pleasure.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't think about these things, especially circuses, you know. There aren't many around anymore, and we don't think about this. We get too busy with our lives, and we think more about, you know, the way that chickens and domestic animals are treated, but seldom with wild animals.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a noble thing you're doing. And Tim Phillips, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
It's really sad.
It really is, you know? I mean, people do all kinds of things.
And that's risky to go into South American circuses undercover. Whew.
Yeah, and I'll bet you they'll do everything to cover it up, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were talking about the Olympics before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the American figure dancer was not happy with the results because she was ranked like number 7 or something, you know. And they're saying, I guess she didn't fall once, and girls that fell actually ranked higher than her.
See, this is what I don't like about these sports. Because it's all on somebody judging you.
Right. Subjective,
and
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And who knows who... I mean, it's kind of like when a referee in a football game calls a play and you know that therefore... And yeah, they have to be... God, I have a brain fart. They can't play for either team.
Right.
But you know deep down they have a favorite team.
Right, like a bias, right?
Yeah. And when they... turn a blind eye to something that should have been called.
Right.
But, I mean, how do you judge fairly all these different countries? And if a judge is from Russia, they're probably going to judge a little easier on the Russian.
Right.
You know?
And especially in this competition, I don't know about all of them, I don't think so, but at least in this one, I guess the judges were anonymous. So I guess that makes it easier for them to really screw somebody up.
Yeah,
wow.
Seriously.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's true, like all of these sports, swimming, track, that it's whoever's first is wins.
Right.
And I find that a better race to watch because the skeleton bobsled, that's the same.
Right.
Whoever does it fastest wins.
Right.
But when it becomes to technicalities and... I don't know. I don't enjoy it as much because not always the person that should. And when it gets to such fine, like small points, like the fine little things that they're doing, that viewers really don't pick up as much.
Right.
They don't know who's the best.
Right.
So they're just like, oh yeah, whatever the judge said.
Very true. You know, I mean, in some contests, it's just plain simple. It's black and white. Either you win or you lose.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and here it's subjective. That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've won competitions and stuff like that, right? When you were swimming and that. What was it, like college competitions and things like that?
Yeah, I medaled at the ACC Championship, which is like, there's ACC, Pac-10, Pac-12, SEC.
Okay.
And then I went on to the NCAAs, which is like the best swimmers in the country are at the NCAAs. Like in basketball, they have NCAAs right. and stuff. So yeah, I competed in that.
Nice, nice. That's cool. I know. I used to be into sports when I was young, you know, and I would compete for the high school and stuff like that. But I don't know. I've never been into sports, you know, so I never really pursued that, you know. But I enjoy watching swimming and diving and things like that. I love the Summer Olympics. This one, I didn't give him the time of day, man. I haven't watched anything.
So. I like the Winter Olympics, but I like only certain aspects of it. But I guess that's like the Summer Olympics. I only like certain sports in
right.
that, too.
Yeah.
Some sports, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I know. Like beach volleyball. I mean, what's that about?
Yeah.
You know, 2 minutes and you get bored with it.
It's like, really, I don't feel bad for you that your life's really hard when you're on the beach, in the sun, in a bikini. I don't feel bad for you
yeah.
that you work hard. Whereas a track athlete, like cross country, running a marathon, like, okay, girl, you're working hard.
Yeah, that's admirable okay. there. I know. But yeah, they've got all kinds of competitions. And so I don't know. I think if it started on Friday, I think it ends on Friday also, usually like 2 weeks later. So I don't know if today's the last day or what.
So there'll be a closing ceremony.
Yeah. Either that or maybe they'll wait till Sunday. I don't know. It's not saying anything about today being the last day. I'm just guessing.
Did you watch the opening ceremony?
No, I did not watch that either.
I didn't really like it.
No, it wasn't
not
cool.
Not really. And then
really?
One of the circles on the Olympic sign didn't go up in lights as it was supposed to.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of opening ceremonies. I just think they're kind of weird.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what's going on right now?
But they do get creative sometimes, you know?
Yeah, they are creative, cool, that's
you know?
For sure.
And, but yeah, they're too long, I think. But what can you do? There's a lot of athletes.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, let's see what else is going on. I guess there's a new app for the iPhone that lets you fight parking tickets. And what it does is you scan your ticket, and then you choose like under what grounds you want to contest the ticket. You know, so you can choose like meter broken or meter times unclear.
Wow.
Or curb paint faded and signs missing or unclear. So you can do that. And then it gives you like the chances of beating the ticket. You know, it's like it'll give you like, okay, 22% success or something. You know,
that's really good. There's literally an app for everything these
yeah.
days.
There is. There
it's
is.
Insane.
I mean, I wouldn't use it because I never get parking tickets and stuff. But
I would totally use it if I got a parking ticket. I would definitely use it.
Yeah,
but it's really insane how many apps there are for different things.
I know.
Last night I was screening a show and there was a song on. And my co-host put the phone up to the TV, and people were talking over, and the app picked up the song.
Yeah.
And
that's Shazam, right?
Yeah, that was it. And there was talking, there was the people talking from the show, and I was like, how did you do that? Like, what? There's literally an app for every single thing
right.
you could possibly want.
There
Even
is.
When you're parking your car, you can... like press the app this certain app, I don't know what it's called, and then it marks where you parked so when you come back
you won't forget
where you parked.
Yeah,
and it's like who thinks of these apps? But that's a really good one about fighting a parking ticket.
That's true,
because
yeah.
it's hard to fight a parking ticket. You have to write to people and then right. wait for their response, and
yeah.
it's like having a pen pal.
Right.
You know, it takes forever.
I know, absolutely. And they're saying that, I guess the way they make money is they charge 25%. If they get you out of the ticket, it charges you 25% of the ticket fine.
Oh, you know? So you still have to pay.
You have to pay a quarter.
Oh, well.
But it's still.
Well, that kind of ruins it. Like, you still have to pay for something.
I know, we expect everything to be free now.
But
know?
I guess if it was a $60 ticket, that's only $15.
Right. It's not bad.
You're saving $45,
yeah.
I guess.
Exactly, you know.
And if it's like a $200 ticket, you're saving $150.
There you go.
So, I guess it's doing something.
I know. They've got apps for everything, and many of them don't even charge a penny for them, you know.
Seriously.
Yeah. And it's crazy. But you know what? It's a good business model if you succeed, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you get a lot of users and stuff, then you get bought by other companies.
Exactly.
You know?
Facebook just bought WhatsApp.
Right. For $16 billion.
Okay, I was like, I don't remember the number. That's insane. Yeah,
it is insane. I mean,
I think
they're
WhatsApp,
saying it's not 1.6, it's $16 billion.
And I think WhatsApp is $1.69 or something like that.
Right, but they have like a million users.
Yeah.
And no, wait a minute. They have 100 million users?
It's high.
I don't know, but they're saying a million users every day. So that's a lot. You know, that's
a lot
of users.
I don't really like WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I use an app called Viber.
Yeah,
to speak to my mom.
Right.
In England, and I can call, text, everything's free.
Right,
it's great.
Isn't WhatsApp for texting more?
Yeah,
I think one
so.
Of them, right?
Yeah.
Viper is like for talking, and I think...
You can text as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I don't remember WhatsApp, I remember I installed it on my phone when I went overseas, because people said, oh, well, it'll help you text, blah, 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 but never really used it, I don't know. But yeah, that's the point, is that, you know, you build up a huge audience and then you attract investors, you attract other companies and so forth.
Like,
you know?
Instagram.
Right.
I mean, that built its way up.
Yeah, it really has, you know.
Now, yeah.
And they're all free, you know. And but it's amazing how we've grown to expect things to be free.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because sometimes, you know, you'll go in the app store and you go, oh, it's $1.99. I'm not buying it. But think about it. It's two friggin' bucks, you know, that you get
totally
for
a cool
app that's useful, you know.
If it's not free, I don't buy it. Buy it. It's free. I'm not buying it. But
you don't get it. That's what happens. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and we've got, I don't know if you've ever seen this app. I think I still have it. Let me show you. It actually makes a panoramic picture, but it turns the phone automatically. The phone like spins on the table. To take the panoramic picture.
So the phone spins by itself?
Yeah, here, I'll show you. It's called Cycloramic, and we had him on the show before. And so let me see. I'm going to do hands-free. And, I want panorama.
That's crazy that a phone can spin by itself to take a panoramic photo.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Where does the photo take? Because you'd think if the phone spins by itself, do you put the phone on its back or on the side?
Yeah, here you go.
Oh.
Hold on a second.
You put it like you stand
that.
It still. Like.
Yeah. Here, check it out now. For all of you, you can't see this, but I just put my iPhone on the table, and through the vibration, it's taking a panoramic picture of the whole studio. Have you ever seen
That's
anything
insane.
Like that?
That's insane. No. And it's not because you stood it up.
Right.
And it's not falling over.
It's not falling over, you know. But I got to tell you, you know, I mean, this is not easy to do, obviously. But when we talk to the developer, it's a Russian guy who's a rocket scientist.
Wow.
And, you guys are still hearing the vibrate. I'm going to let it finish taking the panorama. It's going 360 degrees.
You should upload that photo to Facebook.
I know,
so
I know. But it's not a photo. I mean, when you look at it on the phone, you can just like kind of turn it, you know, and see what happens. And it can also take video in the panorama as well.
So it's not a photo.
No. Well, it's taking a photo, but also... it's like a video. When you play it, it's like a video. I'll show you in a minute. It's almost done. So,
That's crazy.
You've never seen anything like that, huh?
Is it
I know.
Free?
It is free,
it
I
is
think.
It is free?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Here, it's stitching the images now.
What is it called again?
Cycloramic.
Cycloramic.
Right. Now it's processing it. And...
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'll show it to you afterwards. I mean, we're talking about it. People can't see it, but it's really, really cool. So, and it is free, if I remember correctly.
Cycloramic. I'm going to download that.
Yeah. So, yeah, people make all kinds of apps, and they're really cool and stuff. And so that's the one to try to fight parking tickets, you know. Also, I guess this nun, she's 84 years old. She was sentenced to 35 months for breaking into a nuclear plant.
You know? What?
Yeah, I guess they were like activists and they were like protesting a nuclear plant. So they somehow broke in. And I mean, just imagine if a nun that's 84 years old can infiltrate a friggin' nuclear facility, you know.
That's so insane.
You know, I mean, what's going to happen when the spy shows up, you know?
Seriously. Like, she broke into a nuclear plant. But that just shows that security isn't high enough.
Well, that's exactly.
If a nun can break into a nuclear plant,
yeah,
like an 84-year-old woman who's not fast, like she's not agile anymore.
Right.
And she successfully broke in.
Right.
Like, that's so bad.
I know. It's crazy, you know. And they destroyed government property and stuff, you know. And but it's a uranium processing and storage complex. It was supposed to have to have been tightly secured. So what you're saying is correct, you know. I mean, obviously there's a security fault.
Security flaw. Problem that because it was supposed to be tightly secured.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
So much for that, you know. And she's like, okay, give me the – I want no leniency in the on the prison sentence. I guess she feels she was right.
But, I mean, it just – it brings up the huge point of security. I mean, right. When that guy – I mean, that we're talking a couple months back, but at LAX opened fire with
TSA,
a rifle.
Yeah,
on the TSA. It's just like, what? Like, this – to say that there are such problems in America, and not just America, but in the world, security needs to be tightened completely.
Right.
And these, I mean, a nuclear
plant. But already it's so friggin' tight that we can't do and go anywhere without, you know?
It's tight, but not in the right way.
Right.
I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not, I think security is tight, but then it's not focusing on the right point, the right parts. To
right. There are still areas where you can just walk in and out of the airport with no problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And
I know.
Was, when my mom left, I was dropping her off, and I went into when she was checking a luggage in with her. And while we were standing in line, there's this bag, this suitcase, unoccupied. And the next thing, there's dogs, there's police with dogs, like, sniffing the suitcase. And I mean, this is right at the front of the airport, where you drive around to LAX to drop people off, that this unoccupied bag that they possibly thought had a bomb in it was. It's so easy for someone to do that.
Yeah.
So easy, because anyone can just walk in.
That's true.
So I don't think, so like I said, security's tight, but it's really not that tight.
Right.
Because if it's the right bomb, it can blow up a lot of people wherever it is in the airport.
That's
you
true.
Know? So
I don't know. They try the best they can without really ruining our way of life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what terrorists actually want to do is, you know, change your way of life so you're constantly scared and in terror and stuff.
But they've done that, so they have succeeded.
Yeah, they've succeeded. They've succeeded, that's for sure. And, Now, do you ever talk to people and they have bad breath, like really bad breath?
Sometimes,
right? And so they're saying this can be caused from a lot of things, you know. But I know some people, thankfully most people, they don't have a problem with that. But some people do. And the thing is that you have to wonder what's going on in their mouth, you know. I mean.
And how do they not know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe they don't have anybody telling them, but they should, you know.
Do you not have a bad taste in your mouth, though? When
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you do. But maybe the taste is not as bad as the smell comes out, you know. But I know that, you know, I think when people don't floss and stuff, they have bacteria growing in there, and then it starts smelling. But they're saying also there's bacteria that grows on your tongue, you know, and that's why they have, I don't know if you've ever seen, they have something to clean the tongue with also.
I have seen those.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. I should probably get one. But it says that, doing it with a specialized tongue scraper, you know, will help a little bit. Obviously, floss and brush your teeth and rinse them and stuff. But they're saying also, you know, some foods give you that kind of a smell, you know. So
I guess do that. I mean, like spicy food and Indian food, things that have a really, you know. And I mean, when you eat garlic the next day,
I know, with the Indian food, garlic comes out of your pores, I think.
Right? It's so good, though.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. It is the weekend. I love Fridays.
Yay.
And have a great weekend, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. Next week, Charlotte is here officially. And so we're going to change everything on the website. And welcome to the show.
Thank you
so much.
So glad I'm here.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.